This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour number three of Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got a tremendous hour coming up for you. We have to take a look at some golf in 15 minutes. Wes Reynolds does absolutely amazing work here at the network. We're going to be diving in on the John Deere Classic with him. Always have affinity for the Midwest. We go out to the Quad Cities this week for that. So going to be a lot of fun, as not necessarily the rambunctious aims out there in the John Deere Classic, but you know what? There is money to be made. An outright winner in the John Deere Classic cashes the same as the Open Championship. So we're going to be diving in on that and so much more. And we're also going to talk to Wes a little bit about the NFL betting guide as well. He had some contributions there. Everyone here at the network did absolutely amazing work. You want to pick that up. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get in on it. VSiN.com/subscribe for $175. Everything that we do here at the network, all the way through the Super Bowl, every single sport. So can't recommend that enough. You get my full playoff list as well. All 7 teams I've got projected for the AFC and the NFC. So that's a nice little bell and whistle on that as well. And then we're going to get you guys some Major League Baseball plays for this Thursday as well. Not the most expansive slate. We've got 10 games, but we'll give you a few here at the beginning part of the hour, and then we'll round them all up in the final 15 or so minutes of the show. That'll be coming up in about 45. So how about if we take a look at first things first, what we've all been seeing news wise in the world of sports, and the game of basketball just continues to deliver. And I do think that this is a really interesting ordeal out west, as you've got the LA Lakers being able to level up with bringing in DeAndre Ayton. And I think that the hate has gone just a little bit too far with DeAndre Ayton. Still a guy that was able to put up a double-double last year for the Portland Trail Blazers, and is a very, very clear upgrade to what the LA Lakers had last season. Like, when you're throwing out there Jericho Sims, Maxi Kiebler, guys like that, you can't win a title with those guys down low. Even with having Luka Doncic, even with having LeBron James, it was very clear that they needed to bring in someone. And DeAndre Ayton is a former number one overall pick. Now, has he lived up to being a number one pick? No, he has not. He has been a little bit short of that, but it's not like this guy is some sort of a bum or a schlub or anything like that. Guy is still putting up double-doubles, albeit in the same age of positionless basketball in the NBA. Not a guy that's popping threes. Shot 18.8% from three-point range last season with the Portland Trail Blazers. Not great, to say the least. Might want to lay off the threes and or work on those, Mr. Ayton, but you know what? He's still relatively young as well. Like, I mean, he's 26 years old. Like, a lot of people want to think that DeAndre Ayton is ancient, and he's got the whole Greg Oden thing going on where he looks a little bit older than what he is, not gonna lie, but I mean, the guy is still 26 years old. Guy still has quite a bit of potential, in my opinion. I do think that he's gonna be able to do a rock solid job. I'll be able to sure things up down low for the LA Lakers. You still have on the roster Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura. Like, these are nice role players. And for the LA Lakers, do I think that they're gonna be dethroning the OKC Thunder? No, I don't. But I do think that with their odds, they're right around about 15 to 1 to be able to win the title. They're solid. Now, if I had to pick one value on the board right now, I still go to the Denver Nuggets. And the reason why I go to the Denver Nuggets is you've got Nikola Jokic, who I believe is the best player on the face of planet Earth right now. They were able to make a move of their own as well, trading away Michael Porter Jr. a few days ago, being able to bring in Cam Johnson. I think that that's going to be very solid for them. I think that that's going to upgrade their offense. You still obviously have a lot of those pieces from what we saw when they were able to win the title a few years ago. So I do think that this bunch is going to be able to do a nice job of being able to provide good bang for your buck. And we shall see what that backcourt is going to be looking like. But still, I do think that for the Denver Nuggets, they are going to be the team that, if there is a competitor to the OKC Thunder, I really do think that it's going to be them. Obviously, you've got the Houston Rockets bringing in Kevin Durant. I'm just curious as to the health of Kevin Durant. Can you keep him healthy? Not just for the regular season. Like, if he misses some games during the regular season, that's why you've got the young guys. Like, I know that a lot of people have thrown it out there, and you should not be having Kevin Durant playing like any sort of back-to-backs this year. Make sure that that guy is healthy for the playoffs. Make sure that that guy is well-rested. He's all gassed up and he's ready to go, but I certainly do think that with regards to this Lakers team, they did get much better with regards to everything on Wednesday. The question is just, where do they land in the hierarchy of the West? I'd probably put them as a top four team right now. Couldn't really get past like maybe like number four is probably where I'd be landing with them, but certainly I do think that they did get a really nice ad with DeAndre Ayton. We'll see if they do anything else this offseason. And obviously with the New York Knicks, they were able to get a upgraded coach because they didn't have a coach going into Wednesday. They now have Mike Brown, who I think that he's going to be solid for the New York Knicks. Now, I honestly don't think that he's as good of a coach as Tom Thibodeau, but at the very least, he's been in a high-pressure market. He was out there with the LA Lakers back in the day. I felt like he did a really solid job with the Sacramento Kings. He has coached up LeBron James in the past. For the Knicks, they probably should have had a little bit of a better idea of the coach that they actually wanted, because when you fire a guy like Tom Thibodeau, I recognize that you can make the case that he was ever going to be able to take them to a title, and I don't necessarily think that that's wrong. I have great respect for Tom Thibodeau. I also don't think that he's the guy that is going to be able to get you there, because he is one of those guys that runs his players into the ground. So that's a big time concern for you. But at the same time, if you're going to move on from a guy who's been able to get you some playoff wins, has gotten this team further in the playoffs than we've seen in decades, you need to have a better plan in place. And for the New York Knicks, they didn't have a better plan in place. And that's always what it comes down to with regards to the coaching spot, because you can be upset and you can be distraught about the coach and the job that he's doing, but you need to find someone better. I just don't know if they found anyone better. Like, again, Mike Brown, I think, is going to do a fine job. I think that he's going to be able to do, and he's going to be able to have these guys firing on all cylinders. He's going to do a good job of motivating. And I don't think that he's going to really, like, downgrade this team. But at the same time, is this going to be the move that sets the New York Knicks apart and sends them to the title? No, I do not think so either. I still look at them as the bunch that is probably the most overvalued out East, because right now, if you're looking at the odds to win the Eastern Conference, the Cavaliers hovering right around about plus 250, plus 260. The Knicks in a lot of spots are in that neighborhood, about a plus 290. And then from there, everyone else is plus 550 or higher. So I do think that with the Knicks, I'd be setting them more in the like number three, number four spot personally, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A spot that should be number one on your list is getting a VSiN Pro subscription, though, because with that VSiN Pro subscription, you get the NFL betting guide that just came out, jam-packed full of information. You have previews for all 32 of these teams. We've got so many contributors that did such a great job on this. You get my full projection for the NFL playoff. I pick my Super Bowl winner, all that good stuff. I've got a few things in there with regards to futures perspective. I've also got to play in terms of one of the week one games as well. And you get that from so many of the show hosts here. You get that from all of our top analysts. And plus, if you sign up now on the early bird special, $175 all through the Super Bowl, you get everything that we do here at the network. You're able to get everything for college football. You're able to get everything for baseball. You're able to get everything for the NBA season through the Super Bowl. So you get so much great information here. All of our daily best bet emails, full access to the VSiN Watch app. You're able to get all the VSiN tools and analytics on the VSiN.com website. Site and so much more. $175 all the way through the Super Bowl with this early bird special. VSiN.com/subscribe. VSIN.com/subscribe. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now, how about if we try to find you guys some baseball winners, as we do have ourselves a fun slate that is going to be going down on this Wednesday. And well, it was, or I should say on this Thursday, as I was thinking of Wednesday, because it was fun for the Toronto Blue Jays on Wednesday. They got the job done against the New York Yankees. Not so much fun for a Yankees bunch. They clawed their way from back down 8 runs to tie the game, all to lose. And now they have to try to pick up the pieces and try to get the job done on Thursday. This is 905-906 on the card, as the Yankees throw out their Clark Schmidt. And you've got Chris Bassett, have you a hook, line, and sinker for the Toronto Blue Jays. Right now with the Blue Jays, you're going to be fine them in that neighborhood about plus 104 to a plus 110, and between minus 120 to minus 127 is that number on the Yankees. Most places have this total at an 8.5. Circa is really the low 9 that I'm seeing on the board. I did sell my total at an 8.6, and personally, I would rather take an 8.5 over rather than a 9 under. Mainly because you had just a whole bunch of bullpen use on both sides in this game, because both of these starting pitchers just got absolutely barbecued. And then you had the Blue Jays bullpen get barbecued as well. So that's honestly great. And for Clark Schmidt, I've really liked what I've seen out of him thus far this season. Throughout his career, he's been about a league average pitcher, but Now is giving you a sub 340 ERA. He's been getting in that neighborhood about eight and a half strikeouts per nine innings, but he's keeping the ball in the yard, giving up one home run per nine innings. Now with the Blue Jays, some big giant home and road splits. They're averaging about 5.2 runs per game at home, 3.7 runs per game away from home. Not as if the power necessarily goes too much further at home. You got a trio of guys that will be able to give you at least 11 home runs as far this season. Bo Bichette, George Springer, Vlad Guerrero Jr. And you've got these guys doing a nice job of getting on base. While the Blue Jays are not necessarily supplying a lot of power, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is able to give you about a 380 or so with regards to his on base. Bo Bichette has been hitting about a 270 or so, and then George Springer up to north of a 340 on base as well, so they've been able to do a nice job there. Nathaniel Lukes has been able to generate a little bit of something. He and Addison Barger both giving you north of a 330 on base. Even when Miles Straw has been out there, he's been solid as well. The Anthony Santander injury has not hurt them whatsoever, as he has been awful to say the least. But for the Yankees, the offense that had been really struggling, at the very least, found it on Wednesday. Like, you could say what you will about the Yankees, but now they've been able to score at least four runs at each of their last four games. So what was broken seems to be getting fixed with that regard. Aaron Judge continues to be tremendous. 31 home runs, north of a 460 on base. It's all about the other guys. Paul Goldschmidt in the month of June hit below a buck 50. Anthony Volpe was hitting right around the middle sign of 200. Ben Rice fell down the toilet bowl. So you're going to need these guys to be able to give you a bit more. Trent Grisham is still giving you 15 home runs and north of a 340 on base, but you do need a little bit more there. Again, with this Yankees bullpen now about 15th in the big leagues in terms of their ERA, the Blue Jays are starting to have a little bit of a rough go of it as well. But for Chris Bassett, he has been having a tough time as well. 3+ runs allowed in 4 out of his last 6 starts after having such a good start to the season. I do think that Clark Schmidt goes out there, gets the job done for a Yankees team that they really need a win in this one. And I do think that they're going to get it. Willing to lay up to a minus 129 with a Yankees money line at an 8.5, looking at the over as well. And coming up next, we look at the John Deere Classic with Wes Reynolds, who does great work here at VSiN. That's coming up next on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Wes Reynolds aboard. He does such great work here at the network, taking a look at golf, taking a look at football, basketball. If you need some wrestling advice, he's got you covered on wrestling. You can talk a little bit of everything. He's a man of many talents, and he joins me now on the Progressive Guest Line. Wes, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Greg, good to be with you.
Good to have you aboard, Wes. And Wes, I know that you made some great contributions on the NFL betting guide that is out right now. One of the best things, in my opinion, that we do here at the network. And just what did you all research for the guide? And what are some of the things that you're taking a look at for this upcoming NFL season?
Yeah, did a lot of more season win totals and some divisions. Haven't really gotten into the awards market. I may have one or two, but I don't think I'm a heavy awards market better. Necessarily. I know those get a lot of discussion throughout the season, but season wins are where I've had some success, and then some division, some Super Bowl futures. So that's pretty much where I am there.
Absolutely. And I know that you're a big stan of the Indianapolis Colts as well. And as I know that you were our big, shall we say, Indiana Pacers guy here on the network the last few weeks as well. And I want to get your thoughts on the Indianapolis Colts, because they're in a very winnable division out there in the AFC West. I do think that the Texans, head and shoulders, are that top team. But how do you take a look at a Colts team that, obviously, the unfortunate passing of Jim Irsay, that's something that's going to be having everyone playing with a heavy heart this season. But that said, I just look at that quarterback situation, and it feels very unsettled at this point.
Yeah, I guess the only saving grace for any team in the AFC South is that it's the AFC South, even though Houston has pretty much controlled this division the last 2 years, and they're the favorite to do so again for a third year in a row. But the Colts, a lot of unknowns, even though this is my team and was a season ticket holder for this club in years past. But year three under Steichen, they're 500 through 2 years. You mentioned the transition with the ownership. Carly Irsay Gordon and her two sisters are taking over the ownership of the team. And there's a lot of unknowns, but I think what we know is that it looks like Daniel Jones is going to be the starting quarterback, because Anthony Richardson, the development has not been there. And also he's had this thing with the shoulder pop up so far. So I don't expect that he's going to be the day one starter in the home opener against Miami on September 7th. They can obviously run the ball with Jonathan Taylor, had a really good season last year. So they do have some weapons that they're incorporating, but I still think that this is a little bit of an uneven team. I don't like the secondary. They were 23rd in the league in dropback EPA per play allowed. So they are adding Ward from San Francisco and Lou Anarumo, who was the defensive coordinator in Cincinnati. So I guess there's only room for improvement, but they're not the team I picked to win this division.
No, they're not. And I take it that the team that you were taking a look at was the Houston Texans, or did you go a little bit more off the board?
I went a little bit against the grain, actually, and I went with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ooh. At about a little over $3 plus $3.25. I know that that is going against the grain based on what we saw last year, but one thing I will say for the Jaguars, I think the coaching gets a massive upgrade, and I've never really been, I would consider myself not a huge Trevor Lawrence guy, but I think he finally has some good coaching this year. He gets Liam Cohen. He is a first-time NFL head coach, but last year, we thought maybe Tampa Bay was going to fall off the map when Dave Canales went to Carolina. They did not. Liam Cohen came in as the offensive coordinator, and Baker Mayfield had his career highs in a wide variety of stats, completions, yardage, attempts, QBR, you name it. He had a career high in it. So maybe Trevor Lawrence is going to get that same fate. So you're getting Liam Cohen. You're also getting Grant Udinski, a first-time coordinator, but he was on the Minnesota staff. He was the right-hand man for Wes Phillips and Kevin O'Connell up there, and that was Sam Darnold's career season last year. So these guys have some success. So the coaching is a massive upgrade. I like the addition of Travis Hunter and De'Ami Brown, plus Brian Thomas, who was the leading rookie receiver last year. They improved the offensive line. The defense is not so much. It's going to be pretty shaky. So this is a team you're probably going to be betting a lot of overs on just week-to-week, game-by-game basis. But Jacksonville's offense, I think, is really going to be potent, and they're going to be in a lot of games this year. So I think they're worth a stab at 3-1.
Let's just make sure that Liam Cohen no longer says Duval like he's Casper the Friendly Ghost. As long as we can get that, I think that we might be rock solid here with the Jacksonville Jaguars, as Roy's rock solid when Wes Reynolds is aboard. He does such great work here at the network, joining me on Cashing Out on Visa and the Sports Betting Network, and he does such great work over with the Gulf Front and Edge Boost. They are making sure that bettors are able to access their funds and that all their gambling transactions, they're approved 100% of the time. No usage fees, no minimums, and you get cashback rewards as you utilize Edge Boost. Go to edgeboost.bet and utilize the promo code of CASH, C-A-S-H. That gets you a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit of $25. That's edgeboost.bet, that promo code. It is CASH. And Wes, you've been doing a great job on the golf front all year long, and I know you were talking about Trevor Lawrence, and there's a Lawrence that you're looking at this week in the John Deere Classic. And before we dive into that, just how do you take a look at this event where the short shot right now is Ben Griffin at 16-1, and we don't have a lot of events where your short shot is 16-1, which indicates a pretty wide open field.
Yeah, it is. Just like last week in Detroit, where it's gonna be a birdie fest. I don't know if it'll play quite as easy. It certainly won't off the tee, where you had no hazards and you could just rip it off the tee. We had one guy finish a shot out of the playoff, but it was the South African last week, Aldrich Potgieter. The biggest hitter on the PGA Tour in terms of driving distance at one last week. He's in the field again this week. But you mentioned a Lawrence I was on, and that's the South African Kirsten Lawrence at 85-1, who got his PGA Tour card last year from the DP/European Tour last year, missed a bunch of cuts to start the year, and then he went back over there and got a top four in Belgium, then top 12 in the U.S. Open, T8 last week in Detroit. So I think he's turning a little bit of a corner, but yeah, this is a birdie fest. You're going to be shooting in the 20 under par range here. Low scoring, kind of in this dead spot of the schedule, Greg, before they have the Open over at Royal Portrush in a couple weeks, final major of the year. So you have a lot of the big guns that are either taking this time off, doing some prep, have maybe already gone over to the UK to go ahead and get their prep in for that event, get used to the weather, get used to the climate. So wide open field, as you mentioned. So this is, you don't necessarily want to have to go too top heavy, I think, on this board.
And then we do have a few guys that are playing in this event that are also going to be playing in the Open Championship. You've got Jason Day in there. He's 25-1. And how do you take a look at this event in preparation for the Open Championship? Because, as you mentioned, a lot of players, they like to go over to the continent of Europe. But some of these guys that sometimes have a big showing in the John Deere Classic oftentimes do quite well in the Open Championship as well.
Yeah, like, it's not a real preparation because it's links golf over there in the Open Championship, but, you know, playing good golf is playing good golf, and you do have some guys that are going to be making the trip over the Open. You have some guys also that trying to get maybe that last spot. I believe they're the top finisher that's not otherwise eligible gets in this, so, you know, still a lot to play for, and then plus, we're getting to the nitty-gritty here once we get to, like, the FedEx Cup. And that's going to happen in August. So you got to get in position, I believe, to get in that top 70 in the points to go ahead and qualify for that. Ryder Cup implications, wanting to make an impression on Captain Keegan Bradley. So a lot at stake here for these guys.
Yep, absolutely. And I know that you were talking about Thurston Lawrence. There's a few other guys that made your card in terms of guys that you're looking at for and outright. Take me through them. And every one of these, I believe, is north of 25-1.
Yeah, Denny McCarthy, 28-1, who has been pretty good here. Seventh last year, sixth the 2 years prior to that as well. So really good putter, and that's what you got to be here at the John Deere Classic, because it often is a putting contest, because it's pretty easy to gain off the tee, you know, wide fairways. So, you know, you got to putt for the dough here, and Denny McCarthy's one of the best in the business at doing that, still ranked top 10 on the PGA Tour in putting. So Danny McCarthy, 28-1. Michael Chorbornson, I'm back on him again. That was my guy that missed the playoff by one last week, 33-1. Birdie Maker, he was a runner-up here last year, fourth in Detroit last week. He's been knocking on the door for a win, as has Kevin Yu at 40-1, fourth in this field for strokes gained tee to green, third in Canada a few weeks ago, fourth in Myrtle Beach. Bud Cauley, another guy that's kind of looking for that you know, win and really to get it. And he's been close so far this season, four top sixes. So been on the comeback trail from those injuries and playing very well. And then two longer shots, Christian Bezuidenhout, 75-1, really good around the green. One of the best putters, one of the best scramblers, T12 in the U.S. Open. He was runner up actually on this course back in 2022. And then the Gim Reaper, Doug Gim, 100-1, needs to get some FedEx Cup points and finished T20 last week in Detroit, gain strokes across the board. This is a course too where it's an event that's been timed to shorter hitters that are really accurate off the tee and that hit a lot of greens, give themselves a lot of birdie chances, and Doug Gim certainly fits that bill at 100-1.
The Gim Reaper. I absolutely love that line from you, Wes. And Wes, every single time you join me, you always bring the goods just like you did tonight. Always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Greg, thanks for having me on.
Always great to be able to have Wes aboard. And we were talking about the NFL betting guide with him a few minutes ago. How about if we dive in on some more football next, as it's Greg's Random Football Roulette coming up next right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to talk some golf and was great to talk some football with Wes Reynolds, who does such great work here at the network. We were talking a little bit about the NFL betting guide and the contributions that Wes Reynolds made to it. And I know that Wes, he did a great job on the betting guide, and so many folks here at VSiN did as well. So this segment is paying homage to that, as we're getting you guys set for the upcoming football season. I knew that I had quite a few days in a row of hosting coming up, which, trust me, love every single one of it. It's such an honor to be able to come at you guys tonight, and I want to have a little bit of fun with it and get you guys set for the upcoming season, get you guys some futures that you might be looking at, as we are calling this Greg's Random Football Roulette, where we break down all 32 teams. It is a 16-part/16-show extravaganza where I break down two teams a night. For those that caught last hour, I broke down the Cleveland Browns, and, well, they're looking like they're going to be the Cleveland Doo-Doo Browns this year. I know that there was some host that said that. I don't know who, but whoever said Doo-Doo Browns, I like that line because they are going to be Doo-Doo this year, and Hopefully we don't have that with the next team that we break down. As I pick a team by random, we go to random.org, which is a great website that I've been utilizing to randomize lists for since I was a freshman in high school. We see which team is on top, and that's the team that we break down. So let's cast up the roulette wheel, aka random.org, and see what it spits out on Greg's Random Football Roulette.
It's time to spin the wheel and see where it lands. This is Greg's Random Football Roulette.
All right, we got a whammy in hour number two, so we are going to try this again. Big bucks, big bucks. We did not get the big bucks on this one. This is what many would perceive to be a whammy, but I think there might be some saving graces here. This could be like when you go for Christmas and you get your presents and you get the socks. Maybe you're not thrilled with the socks at the time, but you know what? It has a use. You can utilize them. It's not going to be a gift that goes to waste. The New York Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 and it has stood for many years, just end the season. Sorry, Jets fans, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. It has been rough, to say the least. I feel like they made a really good hire with Aaron Glenn. Like, they finally have some no-nonsense in this organization. He was so good as a defensive coordinator with the Lions. He bleeds that New York Jets green because, I mean, he's a man that played for the organization for quite a while. As a matter of fact, I grew up with him playing for the New York Jets when I was a child. So, I mean, that's a good thing for this team, and they revamp things. Sometimes less is more, and what you have less of with this New York Jets team is a circus. I wanted to use a different word there, but we will call it a circus. We want to keep this a PG show, and we don't want to be kicked off the air. So, you know what? It is a circus. And you know what? Now with the Jets, you have some discipline. You get rid of the Rodgers and Friends sort of show, and now you're going to be getting to discipline football, where the focus is going to be novel concept here, playing winning football. And they bring in Justin Fields in the offseason, where I mean, he showed some flashes when he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I felt like the Steelers should have went back to him towards back of the season. He was able to finally get some reps in a, shall we say, more functional sort of situation than what he had with the Chicago Bears. And this guy was thought of as being one of the best prospects in all of football when he came out in 2021. Like, this is not some sort of an ancient guy or anything like that. He's gotten starting reps in the NFL. He's got a really nice skill set. Like, this is a guy that could be able to ascend. Now, am I going to be putting him on my, like, top five quarterbacks list or anything like that? No, he's not cracking the top half of the NFL in terms of quarterbacks. This is not the worst quarterback situation in the NFL, though, and if he goes down with an injury, Tyrod Taylor is a pretty consistent backup. You don't want him starting a lot of games, but if you need a sturdy backup for a game or two, you're able to get him out there as well. And there's weapons on this team. Breece Hall is one of the better running backs that you're going to find in all of football. Garrett Wilson, he's a very skilled wide receiver. Now, on the side of Garrett Wilson, Josh Reynolds, Alan Lazard, you're going to need to get a little bit more there. And the tight end spot is probably one of the weaker points for this team in all of football, but you know what? They've done a nice job of being able to invest some nice capital in this offensive line. I do think that they're going to do a nice job of being able to protect up front. I mean, they have utilized first round pick among first round picks to be able to revamp this. And I mean, Joe Tippmann, I think, is one of the better centers that you're going to find in all football as well. Shout out to the great state of Wisconsin where he comes from. But I do think that they did a really nice job of just being able to revamp things. Justin Fields should have some relatively good time back there as well. And we know that this was a saving grace for the New York Jets for quite a while. Now, this goes back to when they had Robert Saleh, but the defense. And do they have quite the same defense that they had 2-3 years ago? No, but you still have Sauce Gardner. You have Quincy Williams. You've got these guys like Quinton Williams. So you've got Williams squared up there on the front seven. And they're going to be able to get after teams. Like, if they can get a functional 21 points out of Justin Fields, this team is going to have a chance to win a ton of games this year. They also have a chance to lose quite a few games as well, and we're going to be diving into that in a second. But you know what? They have the elements and the pieces to be a relatively solid team, and that's more than what we've been able to say for the Jets for in quite some time. Sometimes when the expectations are their highest, these teams, they sort of crater and they sort of falter. Like the New York Jets last few seasons, when they had Aaron Rodgers, the appeal was, oh, we've got Aaron Rodgers and everything like that. Little did they know that this was a guy coming off of a major injury, and even before he was coming off a major injury, he had a one-and-done game to get the job done and get his team into the playoff against a Lions team that was playing for nothing, albeit Dan Campbell always gets his teams up for it, but I mean, they were eliminated, and Aaron Rodgers didn't even get the job done then. I feel like we just badly overrated Aaron Rodgers, and Justin Fields is not too much of a downgrade at all. He might actually be an upgrade for this New York Jets team, and that might bear itself out on the record, and we do need to take a look at this Jets schedule right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson for Random Football Roulette. We land on the New York Jets, and how about if we decipher this Jets schedule, which it's oh so interesting in week number one, because guess who the New York Jets are playing to start off the year? That's right, Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. They're currently 3-point underdogs. I think they get the job done. I think that they want everything humanly possible to stick it to Aaron Rodgers. I think that they're going to be inspired to do so, and I think that they get that win. I think that they start out 1-0. Now, this is a home game, but not going to be happening. Week number two against the Buffalo Bills. If they pull that off, which, hey, they did 2 years ago with Zach Wilson at home, so I mean, I'll give them that, but I think that that's an uphill battle. So we're going to start out 1-1 there, and then you go on the road against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not feeling it there. That Buccaneers defense is rock solid as well. The offense, I think, is ahead of that of the New York Jets. And you have to head on over to the lovely state of Florida when it's still going to be relatively warm. Loss. Same goes for when they face off against the Dolphins in week number four. Head on over to the lovely state of Florida where it's still relatively hot. Loss. Then you have to play against the Cowboys at home, albeit it's a home game, but I'm not seeing a win there. So they're starting off 1-4. And then they have to play against the Broncos in London. Is it a winnable-ish game? Sure. I still don't think that they get the job done, though. So we're going to start them off at 1-5, but I do think that they have winnable games coming up. Panthers at home. That's a W. There we go. Now we've got two wins on the road against the Bengals. Don't feel it there. So they're currently stuck on two wins after 8 weeks, but then they get the bye, and then they get the Cleveland Doo-Doo Browns. Fortunately, that's going to be a relatively good game for them. I think that they get the job done. And then they have a winnable-ish game against the New England Patriots, who I feel like people are overrating the New England Patriots a little bit too much. Now, do I think that the Patriots are going to be a much better team this year? Yes, but I think that there's a chance that the Jets might be able to win both of those games. Like, I am a believer in Justin Fields. I do think that these skill set players are going to be able to take hold, and I do think that this is going to be a team that ascends as the season goes along. So I'm going to put them at 3 wins right now. They're currently at 3-7 on the road against the Ravens. That is going to be a loss. Very, very unfortunately, that is going to be a loss. But that said, then you get at home against the Falcons. Winnable game. Now, I know that a lot of people are very high on the Falcons. They're very high on Michael Penix's company. I do think that with the Falcons being an indoor team, having to travel week 13, where it's not going to be like super blustering or anything like that, but it's starting to get a little bit cooler, I think that the Jets have a chance to be able to get the job done. That puts them at 4 wins. They play at home against the Dolphins. Dolphins are going to be playing this game in late November. That's going to be a game that's going to be a difficult for Tua if he's able to stay healthy. And if he's not healthy, well, that's going to be a big issue. So I think that that's a winnable game. We'll give them the W. That's 5 wins right there. On the road against the Jaguars, is it a winnable-ish game? Yeah, but I don't think that they quite get it done there. I think that between that Patriots Thursday night football game and the Jaguars game, they get one of those. I already gave them the Patriots game, so this one is going to be a loss. They're at 5 wins. They've got 3 games remaining. They've got the Saints, but it's on the road. And I think that the Saints are the worst team in all of football. I think they get the job done there. I just don't see any way humanly possible that the Saints get north of like 3 wins this year. And maybe I'm being a little bit harsh, but I think that they are a dumpster fire and a half. So there's a W there. That'll give them 6 wins at home against the Patriots. Get the job done there. Their win total is 6.5. I think that they get to 7 wins. And then you might be able to roll this into a perhaps 8-win season because they get the Buffalo Bills in week 18. There's a very real chance that the Buffalo Bills are playing for absolutely zip zilch nada right there. So I've got them at 7 wins with the potential for 8 to be able to ascend what Aaron Rodgers and that circus did last season. Now you've got some no-nonsense winning that's going to be starting with the New York Jets in 2025. And we're going to look to do some no-nonsense winning on the baseball card on Thursday. Up next on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the final segment of the night right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, for this wonderful show, Cashing Out. And if you're listening live to Cashing Out, you're going to be getting a replay of this fine program. Meanwhile, if you're listening to the replay, coming up 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific time, 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern, you've got Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross, doing an absolutely exceptional job with the show VSiN by the Books. I know they're going to be joined by Kate Constable, who does a tremendous job on the WNBA front. She's going to be joining them early in the a.m. You're going to be getting a whole lot with regards to their great baseball plays and so much more. And I know that Dave and Jensen have been doing an absolutely amazing job with that show. So that's going to be coming your way then. And now it is my job to be able to get you to VSiN by the Book very cleanly, hopefully with a little bit more money in pocket, and to try to get you guys just some winners on this Thursday, as we do have ourselves still a solid card for this Thursday in baseball, as we have 10 games. So I would say that in a scale of 1 to 10 for a travel day, this is about a 7. Like, you're able to get some good, solid action out there. You're not going to get as much as you're going to get on a normal day where there isn't a travel day. But you know what? Do like this card, and I do like the fact that we've got this game out there in Wrigley Field. This is really the lone game that I've yet to hit. So how about if we dive in here with Guardians versus the Chicago Cubs, 9-17, 9-18 on the card, as Luis Ortiz is on the bump for Cleveland, and you've got Cade Horton, here's a who's going to be on the bump for the Cubs. Cubs are pretty good-sized favorites, minus 150 to minus 155, and then anywhere between plus 135 to plus 140 is that number on the Cleveland Guardians. Total is coming out at 8.5, and if you're looking at the Wrigley Field win situation, it is going to be one where it's a little bit more indifferent. You don't have these, like, blustery conditions like we've been seeing over the last few weeks or anything like that, and it is quite warm right now in the city of Chicago. A lot of directional wind might be blowing in a very, very, very small scotch. So you do want to be noting that. But I mean, it's going to be mostly a little bit more directional here. So I did set a total to where I'm going to be in on the over. I did set my total at an 8.8. A lot of it has to come down to the fact that you do have a pitcher in Luis Ortiz, who he just gives up a lot of walks for the Cleveland Guardians. Rocks all with his strikeout numbers, north of 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, but is giving up 4 walks per 9, a little bit of a home run per 9 innings, about a 4.30 ERA. So, and he has been awful. He hasn't necessarily been magnificent, and this is a Cleveland Guardians bullpen that it's just not the same as it was a season ago. So they're not going to be backing him up the same way that they have in the past. Hunter Gaddis has been going down the toilet bowl, north of a 3.5 ERA there. For Jacob Junis, he's been the long guy for the team and just has not been able to give you too much there. Now, I like the fact that Eric Sobrowski is off the injured list. He was one of the better bullpen pieces for them last season. And additionally, you've got Cade Smith giving you north of 11.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, sub-3 ERA out of him. But I mean, even with Emmanuel Clase starting to shape up a little bit, has been a tad bit of a rough season for him as well. And then on the flip side, you've got a Cubs bullpen that is number one in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA since the beginning of the month of May. Since the beginning of the month of May, they entered in the day on Wednesday with a 240 bullpen ERA. No other team from May 1st on with a better bullpen ERA than a 322. So they have really been dominant. Now, I do have to wonder how long it's going to be lasting for them, because these guys have come from out of nowhere. Like Chris Flexen, Brad Keller, Daniel Palencia, throwing their Drew Pomerantz, all these guys, most of them other than Palencia are failed starters that are right now giving you a sub-3 ERA. But Cade Horton has been solid in terms of not hurting himself. He's only giving up about 2.2, 2.3 walks per 9 innings. He's a young gun that was over in the Oklahoma Sooners organization for the last few years. I should say their college. I don't think that with regards to college, you necessarily have quite as much university, as much organization. So, as we know, NIL has changed the game a little bit there. But that said, for Cade Horton, coming off of getting just completely barbecued in the last start against the Houston Astros, gave up 7 runs there. And he's giving up a little bit more hard contact than what you'd like. 1.2 home runs allowed per 9 innings. But he's also backed up by a lineup that has been a top two lineup in the National League in terms of run creation for Say Suzuki, along with Pico Armstrong, north of 20 home runs apiece out of these guys. And it's been a team that's been able to do a nice job in terms of moving line, getting on base. You've got some like a Michael Busch, who's able to give you 350 on base. He's supplying a double figure amount of homers. Kyle Tucker has been amazing, north of 385 on base, 70 plus home runs. You just go down the list, and these home runs that they're hitting, as they're a top four team with regards to home run hitting, it's not just solo shots, because you have something like a Nico Horner who's able to give you about a 290 with regards to his batting average. Ian Happ has been solid in terms of moving line. And for the Cleveland Guardians, it's just a top-heavy lineup Jose Ramirez has been great with 13 home runs, sitting above a 300. And then Stephen Kwan has been able to give you a nice average as well, hitting for more around a 285. He's been faltering a little bit recently, but still all in all has had a relatively nice start to the season. And Carlos Santana has been able to give you a little bit of power. Did have a home run in the game on Wednesday, but you just take a look at the bottom of the fold. Like, it was so bad for Brian Rocchio along John Kenzie, Noel, that they had to send those guys down to the minor leagues. Like, Will Wilson, Kyle Manzardo, thrown there as well. So I'm like a Nolan Jones, all these guys hitting at 225 or lower. It's been rampant for this team. I recognize that Manzardo has been able to give you 13 home runs this season, but they just have a lot of guys that are not producing for them. Bo Naylor, who gives you power, he's hitting below the Mendoza line of a 200. So I do think that the Cubs go out there, get the job done. I do think that you've got some relatively solid value here on the run line as well. Find that in the neighborhood about a plus 130 to a plus 135. Personally, if you can get like a plus 135 with regards to this run line, I'd be willing to take a shot there. That was the opener and starting to dry up a little bit more. But that said, I do think that the Cubs, they do find a way to persevere, get the job done, like that over. And I do like the Cubs. I was willing to take a plus 135 on the run line personally. And how about if we had what I'm all liking on the baseball card for this Thursday, and all of our best bets here at VSiN, they are powered by GBank, and GBank is introducing the trifectas. That is where GBank, along First Bet and VSiN, all come together, as you're able to activate this trifecta by going through and depositing and playing through $1,000 over at First Bet within the first 90 days, and that'll trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and then VSiN, they complete the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription all the way through October 31st. That is a $200 value, and that is the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion that is limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer. This will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. In terms and conditions, they do apply. How about if we take a look at what we're getting in terms of the early game between the Twins and the Miami Marlins? This is a nice 9:10 a.m. Pacific, 12:10 p.m. Eastern time. First pitch, David Festa hopes to have a fiesta for the Minnesota of Twins against Eury Pérez. Total on this game is starting to come down to 8, and I like this total over. You've had a pair of guys that have really struggled on the mound. For David Festa, he does give you about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's been giving out north of 3 walks per 9 innings. He's been giving up a little bit of hard contact. I recognize that for the Miami Marlins, this is certainly a bottom 6 team in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis, but offense has been a little bit better recently, notwithstanding on Wednesday where they just could not get anything generated whatsoever. That said, for the Minnesota Twins and the Miami Marlins, pair of rough bullpens. Both of these teams entered 22nd or worse in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA into the day on Wednesday, with having Eury Pérez out there as well. Just hasn't delivered a lot of length. 5 innings or fewer in all 4 of his starts as far this season. Coming off of major surgery, he's been giving out north of 5 walks per 9 innings. That's exactly what the Minnesota Twins, in my opinion, need to get the job done here. I was willing to lay up to about a minus 130 with the Twins, so do like that money line, and I do like that 8 over. What else I like is this under, as we go out to Colorado, where it's the Rockies going against the Houston Astros. Brandon Walter is going for the Astros, and it's Kyle Freeland going for Colorado. Right around minus 170, minus 175 on the Astros. I prefer to take the run line. I've been seeing this right around about minus 120 to minus 125, and that total of 11.5, I do like to the under, because with Kyle Freeland, even though he's posting up north of a 5.5 ERA, fielding a pen is more around a 384. He's giving up only 1 home run per 9 innings. He's not walking a lot of guys, so it's just been a lot of general contact, and the Astros are dealing with an injury to Jeremy Peña, sitting above a 300, and for this Colorado Rockies team, just really not moving the line in general. They are currently dead last in the big leagues in terms of on-base percentage, albeit that on-base percentage is 47 points higher at home rather than on the road. But still, everything in that neighborhood about 4.1 runs per game. That's actually a bottom half of the big leagues mark for the Astros. I do think that Brandon Walter, who's giving you a sub 3.5 ERA, continues to get the job done. 2 walks allowed in north of 28 innings thus far this season for Walter. So I do like that under, and I do like the run line. And I'm going to be fading Bryce Elder and the Atlanta Braves. Jose Soriano, who's getting the start for the Angels, who find them right around about plus 120, plus 125. 0 home runs allowed in 55 innings on the road. Sub 3 ERA on the road. You've got a guy in Bryce Elder who's pitched like he's Elder Lee, giving up 4 plus runs in each out of his last three starts, north of a 5 ERA. Now, I do like this total under because I think that Soriano gets the job done against a Braves team that is in the bottom 10 in terms of run creation. So I'm going to be looking at that under, and I'm going to be looking at the money line of the LA Angels. What else I'm looking at? A great slate for VSiN for this Thursday. Get started with VSiN by the books with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis at 7 a.m. Eastern time, 4 a.m. Pacific, and then Gil Alexander on a numbers game, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific, and then you get money moves at noon Eastern, along with 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific, all right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.